Blog Talk Radio.
Coming down through the week, through the month of February, which I know you guys have been gone for the first week of February. I think it's been a while, about a week and a half. School started on me, okay? Which means I had to concentrate on my classes and kind of lay the radio to the side for a second. But I am going to try to continue to do a steady show as usual, because as you can see, I love to talk and I love to give you guys good information. First of all, I want to say, because it's going to be right around the corner, I want to say happy Valentine's Day to all of you. And I thought I would dedicate this month to Black History and Valentine's Day. So we're discussing love, black love, male, female love, and how we feel about each other, relationships. Now, I'm not no relationship expert. So if you see, I always have a book because I'm not no expert. I've had my share of what I consider love because nobody really truly knows. We fight about it. We really don't truly know what love is. Even though we have people that stay together forever, we still don't truly know what love is. You know, they say in the Bible that love is unconditional. Love is not jealousy, but, you know, it's written in there, but don't necessarily mean we live by it. you know, love is not supposed to be insecure. But I think all of us, because we're humans, we have different ways of looking at love and viewing love. And for one thing, I will say love is not abuse. And I will definitely say that to the end. Love is not abuse. Love is not harming. The word love itself is such a beautiful word. So it's none of the negative things we connect love with. It really isn't. It's not jealousy. It's not the insecurity. It's not the, you know, the critical part. It's none of that. Those are very negative words. And that's not what love is. So we're going to have a combination. I'm going to try to work with presenting you with a combination of love and Black history at the same time. Now, tonight, since Ms. Johnson could not be available at this time, my husband had told me about this book. It's called The Cookie Book, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. And it's by a Maritza Brockenbrock-Bach is what her name is. As you can see, she's not African-American, not with a name like that. Her name is Maritza Brockenbrock. Sounds German or something like that. And she wrote a book called The Cookie Book. And I'm going to say this right now. This might be a little X-rated a little bit because I don't want to say our body is X-rated, but this is, It's called The Cookie Book, and do you know what the cookie is? And it says, celebrating the art, power, and mystery of a woman's sweetest spot. Now, I don't know if you call yours a cookie. I don't call mine a cookie, but considering this, that's what she calls it. It says, let's talk about the vagina, okay? This is part of our bodies, so we're going to talk about the secret of the vagina, okay? And I guess almost like the power of it. It says, at least 1,200 terms have been used for the vagina throughout history. Wow. It says clockwork-powered vibrators were invented in 1734 and used by doctors to curtail hysteria. I think I heard that somewhere before. So they weren't used for, and it probably did do the job, but it was supposed to be something to calm the woman down. It says masturbation has a wide range of health benefits. Did not know that. It says also that in China, people draw comparisons between the texture or color of pubic hair and personality. I don't think that's really interesting. A scent called Vulva Original replicating vagina's aroma can be purchased in Germany and is said to drive men wild. All righty then. Okay. I didn't know that. And do I really need to want to know that? I don't think so. But anyway, this young lady wrote this book. And she did this because she had conversations with other women of all ages. Apart from having loads of fun and laughter, it saddened me to realize that these get-togethers often offer the first platform for members of the fair sex to discuss problems, share experiences, and gain information about this small yet powerful aspect of our being. It came as no surprise to find that we all needed advice about our intimate bits. Most of us had little knowledge of our genital anatomy. We were deficient in the correct vocabulary and were unsure about what is and is not considered normal. Some women have never even taken a glimpse at their own vaginas, and those who had were often concerned about what they discovered. Wow. The younger crowd had questions about the hymen and sexual intercourse, as well as others more delicate matters. Mothers were concerned about not having enough information about confidence to guide their daughters through puberty into womanhood. Some ladies were overwhelmed by menopausal changes and had many questions that were not serious enough to take to a medical practitioner, but still needed answering. The questions and concerns were endless. It was clearly a topic that had been neglected for far too long. So what she's basically saying, all these questions, and I'm quite sure we could walk up on people right now to this day and guaranteed you they would have some questions about their body parts. But we are taught, and it goes back to solo women. And you know what we're going to do right now? We are going to take our first break, and we'll be back. And I will compare what she's saying right here to what we've learned from previous shows.
Salita, the owner of Say Your Peace Radio Network. We would like to invite you to join our team by becoming a host. For more information, check out our website at sensible64.wix.com/Say Your Peace Network. That's Say Your PIECE Network. Have you thought about hosting your own radio show? If so, visit our website at sensible64.wix.com/Say Your Peace Network. That's sensible64.wix.com/Say Your Peace, PIECE Network.
All right, you guys, we are back with Through the Eyes of the Black Woman on the Say Your Peace Radio Network. I'm your host, Salita, and we are talking about the book, The Cookie Book, and celebrating the art, power, and mystery of women's sweetest spot by Maritza Breitenbach. I think I said it right this time, you guys. Okay, this is what the vagina is. And now, first of all, let me let you guys know, I'm not sitting up here just describing to you what the vagina is. This has a concept to it on how we should understand how powerful our body is when it comes to that part of our body and how it well connects to everything about us. It's our very being. So I'm not saying anything out the way. I'm not trying to talk gross to you or anything like that. I'm basically trying to get you to understand how important this part of your body is and how you should take care of it and how you should cherish it. You know, we haphazardly do what we got to do to maintain it, keep it from smelling, but it has more than just that substance to it. That's not all our body. I mean, that's not all what the vagina is about. So it says, is the vagina a fleshy fruit, a mango or an apricot, fragrance treat, a muffin or a pie, or something sweet, fudge, a cookie, a jam, donut? Or is it something dangerous like the Bermuda Triangle or a squirrel trap? Better yet, is it an animal, a beaver, a pussycat, a monkey, or a rat? A container of sorts, a Pandora's box, a cubbyhole, a honeypot, or a childishly and nonsensical named body part, a hoo-hoo, choo-choo, or nookie-tookie. I never heard of that one. Is she a person in her own right, Betty, Fanny, Nan? Is it the highway to heaven or simply downstairs, or is it a natural phenomenon, a cave, a bush, a flower, a jungle, or a forest? Vagina has been showered with terms such as life-affirming, iconic, mystical, and divine. Never even knew it. Throughout history, it has been said that once exposed, the vagina possesses the power to frighten gods, to drive out evil spirits, or to promote harvest fertility. A Catalan saying, La mujer es posa bona sivo el Dunya Donna, I cannot speak this English. I mean, this is Spanish. Tell us that the sea calms down as it sees a woman's vagina. Yet some of us have never even caught a glimpse of our own. Let's not beat around the bush any longer. Brace yourself and join me as we explore and celebrate these secret fleshy foes we call our own. Now, I'm going to say this. My husband used to say it, that I'm not going to use the word he used. He said, people have fought and died for the cookie. I'll say it to you like that. Throughout history. He used to say that all the time. So now I really believe him that is so true. Now, it says, we're going to talk about naming our soft spot. Now, to all you guys that might find this uncomfortable, you don't have to listen in, but I think it's very interesting. Okay. I'm going to try not to get too deep into this. It says, during this exploratory journey, I found two side but truisms. The first, often when the subject in question is mentioned, some people gasp in embarrassment, others giggle, eyes shy away, and facial expressions convey anything from surprise to disapproval to complete shock. The second is, most of us seem to struggle to find a name for our lovely lady parts. In our quest to find a name, we lean heavily on euphemisms, such as down there, as substitute expressions. The phrase women's secret was a collective generic term used during the Middle Ages, and in this typical endeavor to obscure, the subject in question. Sigmund Freud called it the dark continent. Apparently, we are still very much in the dark as the mystery surrounding female sexuality is clearly reflected in its scarcity of appropriate words. In colloquial speech, the term vagina is commonly but incorrectly used to refer to the female genitalia. Strictly speaking, the vagina is a specific internal structure, whereas the vulva, in reality, refers to the exterior genitalia. Noticeably, hardly any woman talks about her vulva when referring to the special place, and seemingly we're not that comfortable with the term vagina either. Vagina sounds almost too clinical and seems to work best in conversations between doctors and patients, as it is most often used in medical jargon. And since most of us are a little confused about what exactly the labia majora, labia minora, mos, pubis, clitoris, greater and lesser vestibular glands, and vaginal orifices refers to, we're comfortably get away with calling them all private parts. Man, I'm jumbling these words trying to say them because there's so many of them. I'm not literate. I can very well speak and everything. I just sometimes get these words kind of trying to get them to tumble off my tongue correctly. According to Steven Pinker, psychologist, professor at Harvard, and the author of Stuff of That, of Thought, Language as a Window in Human Nature, at least 1,200 terms have been used for the vagina throughout the history of the English language. Among array of possibilities, we find some silly but arguably cute names such as fanny, cookie, thingy, punge, tookie-nookie, cooter-coochie, yawny, vag, hey, nanny, nanny, hot cha-cha, honey pot, lady Jane, yum-yum, and vajayjay. Yoni, a Sanskrit word with positive and sacred undertones, meaning the source of life, and divine passages gaining ground in the effort to find an appropriate term. Expressions of more vulgar variety, often favored by young men, are beaver, bush, camel toe, which I'm going to tell you guys, I had never, ever heard the vagina being called camel toe. I can't remember who said it to me, but it, like, blowed my mind. And I had to ask them, what in the hell are you calling a camel toe? And when they told me, I almost fell to the floor because I had never, ever heard that term before, camel toe. The outline of the vagina, when made visible through tight-fitting clothes, yes, tight-fitting pants, oh, my God, the mango pip, apricot split, quack, quar, slit, and crack. There are, of course, other names with which we are familiar. Perhaps we have heard these words when insults are thrown around in a crude and demeaning manner, or we may have seen them as graffiti inscribed on the odd public toilet door or when used in a steamy pornography and erotica. Unfortunately, these words and the way in which they're often used add to the distorted perspective, many women have about their vaginas. Instead of promoting a healthy body image, these expressions strengthen the hyper-sexualized and shame-based views that we hold. Now, as I said before, I'm going to compare this to how we talk about our bodies and how we're ashamed of them. And I'll go back to Stolen Women. When I went over that book with you guys on here, and I told you about how in Africa, when it comes to African-American women, how we, that was sacred. It was nothing sexual about who we were. It didn't become sexual until we had the Western missionaries come over and tell us how sexual and hot and, oh, man, and how we just had to have sex, you know, gave us that image of who we were. So that, again, compounds the distorted vision or version of who we really are when it comes to our very being, which is the power of life, which is our vagina. And I wanted to say that. That's what I wanted to say after the break. I had totally forgot what I said. I should have written it down. Okay. It says, one could draw naming ideals from related words such as perineal sponge, the pad between the vagina and the rectum, and call our most intimate parts our periwinkle. But then, again, it is neither a pale, bluish, purple flower, nor is it an edible sea snail. The fact remains that our most secret and treasured part goes by the uncompromising clinical term vagina. And even after discovering the exquisiteness and wonder surrounding the subject, we find this term blunt, unappealing, and downright dreadful. And that's true. Vagina gives it that name that's like, oh, my God. And the first thing we do is we frown up and, you know, some people are proud of theirs. Some people are not. So we have to come to a happy medium. When we come back from break, we shall continue this conversation about the book, The Cookie Book. We shall return.
Visualize standing on the shores looking over the water. Take a deep breath. Now slowly release it. Clear your mind. Concentrate on just being still. Accept that your thoughts can be transformed to accept the changes that can take place. Look over the horizon and beyond your perceived viewpoint. Focus on what is important to you. Release the dragon of doubt, low self-esteem, and all the emotional baggage that you carry with you. Allow the gentleness of the breeze sweep away all your fears. Let the waves of calmness pass over you. Your life is all you have, so make sure you've planned it accordingly. Never stop dreaming. Know through relaxation, you have an opportunity to refresh, renew, and reinvent. This is your time to open your mind and allow the essence of truth and perseverance to find their place in you. This is just the beginning for you
to take a chance and create an environment for the growth of a positive thought pattern.
And talk with you at the same place, the same cafe.
right, you guys, we are back here on Through the Eyes of the Black Woman radio show, presented by Say Your Peace Network, and I'm your host, Salita, and we are talking about the cookie book, and we are in the midst of discussing our vaginas. Yay! Okay. The last thing I kind of talked or discussed with you was why the name of the vagina sounds so depressing, so blah, doesn't make you feel, you know, good about the name. It says that the vagina, and even after discovering the exquisiteness and wonder surrounding the subject, we find this term blunt, unappealing, and downright dreadful. Words like belly button, tummy, eyes, and toes flow softly off the tongue, but vagina or vulva, I rest my case. Nobody wants to say that. Calling our vaginas by any other name is not necessarily derogatory. There is a place for pet names that can be used in a familiar and playful manner among friends and family. On the other hand, Eve Ensler, a prominent anti-violent activist, she played by, and she's a creator of the Vagina Monologues. I know everybody's familiar with the Vagina Monologues. Warns that what we don't say becomes secret, and secrets often create shame and fear and myths. And that is so true. I really believe that to the T. I believe that. If this is the case, it's perhaps time for us to get off the euphemism treadmill. Now, before we continue right there, I'm going to stop because I want to say something real quick here. I want you guys to understand, yeah, this is Valentine's Day, but Valentine's Day does connect with sex. So you want to probably wonder, okay, if I'm talking about vagina, let's talk about the penis. Well, I don't have a book on the penis, so I can't talk about the penis. I can only talk about what I have, which is a vagina. Now, let's talk about, I think what's very important, let's talk about the scent of a woman. And I don't know if you guys remember that movie, Al Pacino. I can't remember what the other little boy, the guy name was. He was blind, and they named the movie A Scent of a Woman. I can't remember what the premises of the story was, but I remember seeing the story. I didn't know why the young boy was helping him out or something. Okay, it says the vaginal aroma, or the cosselet, which is French for perfume or incense burner, is a conversational topic one would certainly not initiate at a dinner table or any other public gathering for that matter. It goes beyond the pale of subjects that are considered mentionable and is definitely a social taboo. In literature, we observe that many men actually desire a woman's unique cosselet. Possibly one of the more celebrated opinions is that the great emperor of the French, Napoleon Bonaparte, 1769 to 1821, whose preference and rapture for the natural and unwashed smell of his wife, Empress Josephine, are well recorded and rather remarkable. It is said that upon returning home from the battlefield, he would send word to Josephine with precise instructions. Ne te laves pas, je reviens. Don't wash, I'm coming home. In one of the many love letters he wrote to his wife, one particular sentence stands out and leaves us breathless. I send 1,000 kisses to your neck, your breasts, and lower down, much lower down, that little black forest I love so well. Wow. We, on the other hand, are decidedly more hesitant about the matter and easily become typically shrinking violets. We take to cowering in the presence of our gynecologist or lover when we feel our scent is somewhat less than rosy, even after washing once, twice, and sometimes three times, just for good measure. We are also continually bombarded by advertising and consumer products that encourage us to spray away our natural scent in favor of a more pleasant peaches and petals fragrance. After all, we have been told that our perfume of the kind found in bottles reveals more about us than our handwriting. It is near impossible to ignore such statements, especially when they come from esteemed fashion royalty such as Christian Dior, who was famously quoted as saying his dream is to save women from nature. And then, of course, there are also those dreadful fishy jokes, which only adds to women's already lengthy list of insecurities. So, you know, when you make those remarks, and we do, we all do it, we don't think about, you know, how that hurts and how we feel, how it makes us, even as women, self-conscious about who we are. Perhaps the notion of deodorizing creates no more than illusion, since some perfumes are, in fact, based on intimate and animal scents that are meant to awaken bestial cravings in the hygiene obsessed. Consider this list of French perfumes, for example, which plays in the scent of coitus or sexual intercourse. Lover by Editions de Parfum. You have Putain d'Espelles, which is Whore of the Palaces, and Secretions Magnifiques, which is Magnificent Secretions. You had Cummings and Les Exlers Chanels, which is Carnal Elixirs. Killian Hennessy describes his perfume Liaison Dangerous as being based on the pleasures that Parisian orgies offer. Okay. Body slick with sweat, hot with odors of sexual favors bestowed and receiving during the night. Corelle by Parfumerie Generale embodies the theme of Jean Genet's novel Cuillon de Bresse, 1947, which I never heard of, which focuses on a handsome but immoral sailor who is embroiled in a plot drenched with sexual promiscuity. I can't even say that word. I'm sorry, you guys. I could not pronounce that word. I'm just going to say it. The classic way to make French perfume is to include animal scents like musk, castoreum, and ambergris. In base notes as fixatives, you have musk, which means testicle, Sanskrit, fashions an aroma of sweet blood and is derived from an anal gland of the male musk deer and civet cats. Didn't know that. Okay. It says, these sensual, subtle smells of the body send strong signals to the brain and have the power to tantalize, arouse, and even tickle the taste buds. Whether these responses are based on pleasure memory or pheromones, it's still unclear. For many years, researchers have speculated on whether humans have the ability to detect pheromones, the phenomenon that the menstrual cycle of women who live together change gradually and involuntarily until they are in sync, seems to provide evidence that pheromones exist and that they can indeed influence people. It says the McClintock effect proves that underarm swabs collected from female donors when whipped under the nose of other women influence cycle length and timing, and furthermore, that exposure to male axillary, which is the extracts under the armpit from males, can normalize irregular menstrual cycles. Never even thought of that. Okay. We're going to take another break real quick, and we shall return with the cookie book. And I'm going to try not to read everything in it, but pick some more stuff out of here. All right?
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know. Hey, I'll leave the young thing alone, but ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's just how death ain't no home.
Guys, we are back and we're down to a little bit over eight minutes. And the next thing we're going to talk about, I'm done with talking about that. Let's talk about, is it possible that we can manipulate the smell of our, they say, posse, but we know what they're saying. It says, although feminine odor is quite unique to every individual, there are a number of lifestyle factors that can directly influence our intimate aroma. When we opt for the healthier route, we will be amazed at the lovely effect that it has on our hidden treasure. We are well aware of the importance of hygiene. If we don't wash ourselves regularly, we will certainly not come up smelling like roses. The apocrine sweat glands found in hair follicles, in the armpits, around the nipples, and in our pubic region release secretions that consist of an unscented solution made up of 99% water. Emotional stress, sexual excitement, heat, and exercise trigger these secretions. And if your body is left unwashed after an active day, you're bound to smell quite questionable. Wow. A simple daily wash with a color and fragrance-free soap or a natural product like a tea tree intimate wash will help destroy pesky odor-producing bacteria on the vulva and prevent any unpleasant scents from developing in that region. Never knew that. A tea tree intimate wash every day, daily. Your shower head is a tool you can use to introduce water to all your external nooks and crannies, or you can run a bath and use your fingers to gently cleanse your labia. There is no need whatsoever to spray anything on your intimate bits. Not only is it unnecessary, but it can also be extremely harmful as the vaginal crevice is completely self-cleansing. Dishing, which entails applying a jet of water inside the vagina, is generally a big no-no, since it can, much to our dismay, increase discharge and bad odor by upsetting the sensitive vaginal ecosystem and may even cause pelvic inflammation. Dishing should be done only when prescribed by a medical doctor. It says, on that note, here's a charming but ludicrous excerpt from a book written by Dr. H.H. Rubin in 1938. One very frequent reason for men making extramarital alliances is because of the fact that the odor that emanates from the body of the wife, particularly if the husband and the wife should foolishly share the same bed. It is so obnoxious that it destroys all appetite for closer contact. If a woman has a tendency toward any vaginal discharge, she should use a vaginal douche morning and night until this condition is thoroughly cleared up. At least now we have better, and hopefully we are foolish enough to share and enjoy the same bed with our beloved. It is also important to remember to change tampons and diaphragms regularly. If left in for too long, either product can cause our nether regions to emit a most unattractive odor. It makes sense, doesn't it? Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to make sure that I don't want to leave you not knowing what I basically, well, what I basically just wanted to do was to go over this book. We can bring it back on some other time to complete it out or to finish it, because we're only down to 4 minutes. I'm hoping today, because we had a little change of venue, that you got a chance to hear a little bit about the word vagina and what it means to us and how important it is for us to take care of it. I gave you a tree tea intimate wash that you can do for the scent of the vagina if you're not happy with it. But your natural scent is your natural scent. It doesn't matter. The only way it's different is, like you said, if you do any activities or if you do something, you stay that way without cleaning yourself up, you're going to have that smell. I'm going to stop right here and put this page to the second. So I'm hoping I gave you a little bit of a tidbit of what, how important your vagina is. And like I said, my husband used to say all the time, there has been wars fought, people killed over the vagina. Okay? So please do not get it twisted. You have a very powerful tool between your legs. I'm just going to say it like it is. It is a very powerful tool between your legs. And I think you need to take care of it. Like I said, we learned that Napoleon rather for his wife to stay unwashed, and because it did something to him. The natural sin of a woman, and even the natural sin of a man, is a form of aphrodisiac. It is. Why God gave it to us like that, I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm not here to understand it. But it's like that. It is an aphrodisiac to smell the natural scent of a man. Without any cologne, after a good shower, he has nothing on him. It is the most exhilarating smell. And the smell of man when he first gets out the shower. I'm just going to say it. And his natural scent is still there. It's not washed away. It's still there. So, happy Valentine's Day. I'm going to try to say that every day. To everyone out there, I hope I got you up and roaring about your body and understand that it's a beautiful thing to be a girl, to be a woman with a vagina. It is an awesome thing. I'm not going to change it. I'm going to say it. It is a beautiful thing. It is an awesome thing. And I want to say, you guys, you are blessed. And let's see. We want to say, I want to get you guys to come back tomorrow night. And we shall have Miss Tisha. Excuse me. I think her name is Tisha Hill. It's supposed to be our radio interviewer for tomorrow. She's an author. And hopefully we can continue this conversation about love. So I am going to let you guys go. We shall talk again tomorrow. And I want to say this has been Through the Eyes of the Black Woman on the Say Your Peace Radio Network. And I want to say bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salita. We want to thank you for listening in and stay tuned.